We're going to bring up a guest in a few minutes, folks, that you do not want to miss. Chris Briels. Now, if you don't know who he is, he was the man, he was the fire marshal in Oregon that caught the FBI dressed as, we'll say, militiamen, trying to stir up trouble and cause problems. We're going to bring one tonight, let him tell his story on what he found out. And I have to say, this man's a rare breed that he would do what he did. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you just had surgery on your shoulder and things, and you've been kind of covered up with a lot of things going on, but thanks for taking time to talk to us tonight.
Yes, sir.
Tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Chris. For those that never heard, don't know who you are, tell them about yourself, where you're from, and what you do.
My name's Chris Briels. I'm 63 years old. I was born in Denver, Colorado, raised in Colorado. Moved out here in 1978 to raise my family, and I've been here since 1978.
Have you lived in Harney County all that time?
Yes, sir, I have.
You've been a resident there for quite a while then, obviously, over 40 years, so you've been there long enough to know what's going on and the people around there. What are the people like generally in Harney County? What kind of people are they? I know a lot of them are ranchers probably and farmers, but what kind of folks are they?
They're usually pretty independent people. You need to understand that Harney County is a little over 10,500 square miles, and there's about 5,500 people living in the Burns-Hines area, and the rest of them are scattered out over the county. So it's a very remote area. It's kind of like a frontier. There's a lot of places you can go that you just don't see anybody.
And, you know, I kind of like that. I really do. I like that thought. I live out here in the woods by myself. I've been blessed, and I like it down here in the holler where I live. But anyway, what have you done for a living the most of your life? What's been your background in that?
You mean as far as
What did you do for work?
Since I was in Harney County, I came here as a welder, a millwright. I joined the Burns Volunteer Fire Department in 1979, and in 1984, I took over as the full-time paid fire chief for the city of Burns, and I was asked to be the Harney County Fire Marshal at that time by Judge Dale White, who's deceased now. I did that position until just recently when I quit. I retired from the city of Burns in 2006. I've been involved in search and rescue for the last 20-some-odd years. I've taught fire classes around the state of Oregon for the state fire marshal's office. I've helped train a lot of firefighters and EMTs.
You've been a public servant for a long time then. You've been public service, actually, teaching people, helping people for a long time.
Yes, sir, I have. I feel like I have things that I can do to help my fellow man, and so that's what I've been doing.
Were you an active fire marshal when the incident happened to you a couple weeks ago? Were you still a fire marshal then?
Yes, sir.
And still the fire marshal of Harney County, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You resigned, of course, after that. So, folks, you get a background where this guy come from. He's not a rookie. He's been on the job doing a lot of things for a lot of years. Obviously, Chris, up until this time, you must have thought everything was pretty kosher in that county. I mean, everything was going up the way it should?
Not always going the way it should, but I thought it was going along pretty good.
What made you change your mind? Tell us what happened.
Well, when Ammon Bundy first came into Harney County and had a meeting out at the fairgrounds.
But you're familiar with what happened to the Bundys about a year and a half ago when they're in Nevada, right? You knew about that, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
What was your opinion on that?
I kind of wondered how it was that they could do what they did and the federal government went away and hasn't bothered them since. So it made me think they must have had something on the federal government. They must have had a leg to stand on. And I was curious as to what had gone on.
Had you been in contact with anybody from there before this happened?
No, not before this happened, no.
Go ahead and finish your story.
Just when Ammon came here and he was going to be speaking about our Constitution and some of the things that had happened down at the Bundy Ranch, and I went with a group of maybe 65 people from Harney County that listened to what he had to say about the Constitution and about our founding fathers and a lot of really interesting history and about what had happened to them down at their ranch, and that there were some similarities here that had happened to the Hammonds at the Hammond Ranch, that our founding fathers had put checks and balances in the Constitution to keep the government under control. And part of that, they could develop a committee of safety, and they could have an evidentiary hearing and check into matters that didn't seem like they were quite right. And there's been a lot of BLM land takeover here in Harney County. Right now, we're 73% federally owned land.
Wow.
We were the highest per capita paid county in the state, and now we're second from the last. We used to have a tremendous lumber industry and a lot of things going on. They've shut all the logging down. The BLM has taken over more and more land. They've taken over ranchers' properties. Whenever they buy ranches or do whatever, that takes it out of the tax base. It's really hurt our economy, and the jobs are just not there unless you work for the federal government.
Well, now, are you familiar with Agenda 21? Ever heard of that?
Not completely.
Okay, well, later on we'll talk to you off the air sometime. But Agenda 21 is what this is all about, taking over properties to get people off of it. But it's a long story. Nonetheless, you saw this happening. Did anyone else that worked with you, I mean the local law enforcement or the judge, did they see it? Were they concerned about it at all?
They didn't seem to be too concerned about it. When the Hammonds were arrested, they didn't really support the Hammonds. They didn't go to bat for them. Right, that our own people were going to jail for crimes that did not warrant the amount of punishment that they were receiving.
Did you speak to anybody about that, like the judge perhaps? I know you know who he is, and there's local sheriffs. When you spoke to him about that, was there any response at all?
When I talked to him about what's going on with the Hammonds, they said, well, everybody wants to see the Hammonds out of jail, and it's an unfortunate circumstance, but there's nothing that we can do. They didn't have an interest in helping.
Placate the people. Oh, we love to help, and you're right, but it's out of our Anyway, I won't get into that. You started seeing this in some time back. This didn't just start happening a month ago. You've been seeing it for a while.
Yes, sir. At the meeting at the fairgrounds, we were talked to about the Committee of Safety, and they voted to form a Committee of Safety. I was the second person nominated to sit on the executive board of the Committee of Safety. There were seven nominated that night. And we didn't have any idea what we were getting into. I never raised my hand saying, I want to be famous. I just felt like something needed to be done. And if nobody ever does anything, then that's what gets done is nothing. And I thought, sounds like a very important thing to be involved in. I had heard that the committee would have the power to call a militia if it was needed. And I wanted to make sure that no one was going to be calling militia and going to have a bloodbath in my county without my say-so. I don't believe in bloodshed. I don't condone those types of things.
Well, you don't want bloodshed. That's the last thing you want is bloodshed.
Right.
Or any other, we'll say, officials there with you, any law enforcement or anybody else work for the county or the federal government there with you?
There were a couple other law enforcement people there, but nobody else was on the committee.
How did the law enforcement respond to the meeting?
They basically said that I should probably remove myself from the committee and get as far away from the Bundys as possible because they were a bad group.
This was told you by the local law enforcement or by feds?
Local law enforcement.
Okay.
And by Fasty himself.
And by who himself?
Judge Fasty himself.
Okay. Chris, don't go away. A lot more talk about folks. And we'll try to squeeze in a couple phone calls next half hour if you want to talk to us. This is beyond powerful. This is the kind of man we need. Men like this all over the country. Folks, we're talking to a man tonight, exceptional character. I mean, really. Now, I want you all to think, how many of y'all would resign from your position, from a job you've done for years? I'm sure decent pay, good benefits. Walked off and said, I'm not going to do it any longer. With threats given to you by the judge and other people, how many of y'all would do that? And I'm asking a serious question here. I mean, you walk away from your livelihood. What if you got families? What if you got a wife and children to feed, mortgage to pay, or bills to pay? What kind of people, what kind of man does it take to say, listen, I can't do this any longer. I see it's wrong, and I will not do it any longer. That, to me, is a matter of integrity, and I love to see this man face to face and shake his hand. I wish he wasn't so far away. Now, Chris, you said that the judge told you also maybe you might want to rethink this?
Yeah, he told me that the Committee of Safety was not done correctly, that it was a farce, and that I should distance myself from it as far as I could, and that my life would probably be in danger and all kinds of things. And I had told him, well, I feel strong about this, and I need to find out what's really going on.
And why do you think your life would be in danger? From what?
There's been a lot of things going on, and I don't think that they want them uncovered. Lavoie's already been killed, murdered, in cold blood. To get back to my story, then we've had people around town being harassed, vehicles driving around. When Hammond Bundy took the refuge, then the Oregon 3%ers and some Oath Keepers came in. They're militia groups from around the United States. The Idaho 3%ers showed up. but they are not a bad group of people. They are a good group of people. They are good, God-fearing men and women that came to show support for Ammon and his followers and to protect them. And as soon as they got here, the FBI started showing up, and there were all of these black vehicles driving around town, following people, harassing people.
When you say harassing, what do you mean harassing?
Oh, screaming and yelling at them, threatening them.
I mean, you talking about these people driving down the highway or downtown, they were screaming and yelling at them?
At night, they'd stop across from somebody's place and yell at them and then drive off. And
what would they yell at them?
About how that they were wrong in their convictions about what they were doing, and that they needed to be kind of careful of who they talked to, and just stuff to create fear for people.
These people they were yelling at, they knew they were at meetings or something, perhaps?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the sheriff's deputies and stuff like that. Well, after I had talked to some of these oath keepers and the three percenters and told them, you know, we don't need that kind of stuff in our town, and they said, absolutely not, and we do not do that. And I believed these men. They are very self-disciplined. They don't do that. They just don't. Why is all of this? I went to a friend of mine's house where I had a vehicle that he was working on, and when I walked in the door, he said that I had aligned myself with the wrong people and that he was upset with me and that some of my cohorts had been messing around the armory building that day. And I said, wait a minute, I haven't aligned myself with anybody. And what do you mean somebody's messing around the armory? The armory is supposed to be empty. There shouldn't be anybody messing around there. Well, he got a phone call, and at that time, he said, well, your cohorts are over there again. You better go find out what they're doing. He poked me in the chest. So I immediately went out and got my vehicle out there. There were two cars and one big black Expedition. I followed them down the street. The two cars went one way and the black rig went the other way. So I followed them, and they stopped at a stoplight. And when the light turned, they cut across the left-hand lane of traffic.
Hang on, Philbert, don't lose that thought. Folks, you're about ready to hear something that you may well pay attention to. This man has got me on the edge of my seat. Listen to what he's going to tell us now next. I spoke to him during the break, and I asked him this question. I said, did any of the militia at all, at any time, the people there with the Bundys, do anything disrespectful to anybody? He said, absolutely not. And that should tell you something, folks, coming from a guy that will say was on the other side for a long time. Go ahead and finish your comments, Chris, please.
Well, sir, when my friend had told me that my cohorts were at the armory and I followed the vehicle and it cut across the turn lane in an evasive maneuver and went into a parking lot, and they drove around and they stopped by McDonald's, and I got out and I went over and I introduced, I took my hand to them and I said, my name's Chris Briles, I live here, I'm kind of curious what you guys were doing over at the armory. They told me that their name was Mike and Rick, and I said, what's your last names? As well, we're Mike and Rick. They wouldn't tell me. And I said, I just had a guy that I've known for a long time tell me that you were my cohorts, and I'd like to know what you guys were doing at the armory. And he says, oh, I wasn't at the armory, and you got no business to be following me around. And I said, sir, please be honest with me, because you were at the armory, because I just followed you from the armory. And he said, well, we're just two guys traveling through town looking for a place to start a business. And I said, sir, I'd wish you'd be honest with me. Typically, people don't start a business in an armory. Please be honest. And the one guy said, well, I just want a sandwich. And I said, well, I'll buy your meal if you guys are honest with me. There's a lot of fear in my community, and people are scared. A lot of activities are going on, and they don't know what's happening. And you were over there where you didn't belong. I just want to know why. The big guy says, well, we're just trying to find a business. That's all we're doing, just passing through town. And then the other guy says, well, to be honest, there was a big buck in the backyard there. It was a big four-point shooter buck. And he says, wow, he says, boy, what a nice deer. And I said, well, if you're hunters, I can show you where there's thousands of jackrabbits so we can hunt. But I said, typically, we don't shoot deer in the armory. And I'd rather you would be honest with me. Please, please, it's very important to me to find out what is scaring the people in my community. The big guy said, well, I want a sandwich if that's all right with you. And I said, well, okay, you guys have a good day. And I took a picture of the front of their vehicle, and I took it up, and I called the dispatcher. I wasn't able to see the sheriff. They've got our courthouse and our sheriff's building surrounded with concrete barricades and chain link fence with the FBI in there guarding it all. I was able to call dispatch, gave them the plate number, and I went back to the armory to find out what was going on, you know, to tell my friend what I had found out, that the guys were not honest, and to tell him what they had told me. And there was a sheriff deputy and a local police officer there at the same time. While I was talking to him, the sheriff deputy got a phone call, and he said, oh, okay. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, he said, the two cars were undercover FBI, and so was the one that you stopped. They're undercover FBI, and we have to keep this a secret. And I said, why is this a secret? Well, they're here doing things, and it's top secret. And I said, okay. And so I kept that a secret until I was at a public meeting where our local high school gymnasium was being used by Judge Grasty, and there was a tremendous law enforcement presence there. And I had a chance to speak out, so I raised my hand and I got the microphone, and I explained to them who I was and what I'd done, and I told them exactly what had happened that day. And then I said, where do you think the fear is coming from? Where do you think the fear is coming from? These are FBI people running around, harassing our people, scaring our women and children. This is wrong. After that, before I left, Judge Grasty came up and had an argument with me, telling me that I needed to back off. One of the sheriff deputies out front asked me if I could tell him what happened. I told him, and he says, man, he says, we have told him and told him and told him to knock that crap off. He says, I will talk to him again. So that confirmed that it was FBI people doing this.
Were you allowed to tell the whole story in that meeting at night, or did they escort you out, or what happened?
I had the microphone.
Okay, good, all right.
There wasn't nobody in that building that could have got it from me, and I said it.
After you said that, when I saw the sheriff deputy said, all right, I'm going to follow up on this. What happened after that?
The next morning, Judge Grasty called me up there to his office. I went up there, and I said, Steve, this is ridiculous. You're telling people you're spending $60,000 to $80,000 a day on security, and I said, that's our tax dollars going to waste. There is no threat. The people at the refuge are not threatening anyone. This is out of hand. This cannot be happening. There's people sneaking around our town scaring people. It's wrong. I said, what would have happened if I would have smacked one of them guys when they were being dishonest with me? And he raised his hands up and he said, wait a minute, Chris, your perception is all out of whack. Your perception is all wrong. You may have been dangerous at one point in your life, but you're an old man. You have absolutely nothing. And it's none of your business what's going on at the armory. You have no right to follow anybody in our community. You have no right to question anybody in our community. And it's none of your business what's going on in the armory. And he has never in his life had guts enough to talk to me like that. But he had two deputies on one side of me, one on the other side, and one behind him.
Wow.
As much as I'm here right now, I know he was trying to bait me to get me out of the equation. He kept telling me I had no business meddling with this, and he's the one that's supposed to be taking care of this, and that I had no business. He said that my perception was all wrong. I needed to just go home and be an old man and let everybody else take care of it. And I looked at him, and I said, have you got a piece of paper? And he said, yeah. And I looked at the date, and I wrote the date on it, and I put, I, Chris Allen Briles, do hereby resign my position as Harney County Fire Marshal. And I signed it, and I stood up, and I said, you have shown your true colors, and my perception is exactly where it belongs. Goodbye.
What did he say then?
He didn't say anything, because I didn't give him a chance. I turned around, I walked off.
What has happened since then, to you personally?
Well, my personal life is gone, because as soon as I spoke in front of a microphone, now I'm doing radio shows and stuff like that. I'm still trying to find the truth, still trying to find out what is at the bottom of all of this. Out there at the Hammond Ranches, there's billions of dollars of uranium and
gold. Oh, yes.
And minerals.
Yes.
Out. It goes way back into the Clinton administration.
Yes, it does. How are your neighbors treating you now?
My neighbors have known me forever, and my neighbors treat me fine. Some of the people that I thought were my friends, I saw one in the store the other day. I said, hey, how you doing? And she said, you're a bad man. And I said, you really think so? And she said, yeah, I think you're a bad man. And I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I hope you have a good day.
Wow.
It's kind of torn our community up.
Yeah, and that does hurt. It does hurt, Chris. Believe me, I never went through that particular situation, but I've been through this similar thing myself as a pastor and a man trying to live in conviction. Some people are not going to like you. But, you know, you cannot stand for anything without standing against something. Yeah, that's just all there is to it. So since this happened, you've resigned. You've been on, I'm sure, with the press, on talk show, on different talk shows. What do you see changing out there now? What's going on? I mean, I know that we know what happened with the roadblock. We know that LaVoy, in my opinion, from what I've seen, was murdered. I was on the site, but I believe he was totally murdered. What's happened since then?
Well, the community is more divided, and there's actually more resources here in town than were in town before. Ammon Bundy is incarcerated. To my knowledge, there were only four people left out at the refuge. There should be no threat left here. But the FBI and the state police and everybody, they've ramped up. There's a tremendous law enforcement presence here in our little tiny town.
Do you know anyone was in on this roadblock, this ambush? Did you know any of the law enforcement officers that were there?
No, sir.
Okay. Because I've had stories, some of them were not really law enforcement. They were actually hired hitmen. I don't know that. That's just what's coming through into the grapevine, so to speak.
I think it was a failed assassination attempt. I think that they were trying to assassinate LaVoy and the people in the pickup with him. I think if he wouldn't have got out of the pickup and ran in the snow, that they would have killed everybody in the pickup. He was shot in the side. He reached down to hold his wound, and he was shot multiple times. There's even a video on there that shows an officer standing down on the street.
Yes, it does.
Laying dead and had his hands in the air and his hand moved a little bit, he turned around and shot him some more. To me, that is not a justifiable act.
No, it is not.
Unjustifiable. It is horrendous. It is the worst crime imaginable. And that man left 10 kids and a wife.
And since that happened, how are the people reacting to all this? What's going on in the community?
Oh, there are a lot of people in the community that did not like that to happen. They didn't want bloodshed. They couldn't believe that something like that could happen in our little area. But it did happen. And so it has created a tremendous amount of stress on people. No one knows how to deal with these types of situations. No one's ever really been through this, or very few people ever have. So we've got normal people that are trying to react to an abnormal situation.
Yes.
There have been protests. There's been people speaah out. Since that time, there's been ranchers have been harassed while feeding their cows.
Harassed by who?
By the FBI.
So they actually drive by and say things or do things or what?
Right. Yes, they have.
They've actually got out of the car and done things?
Yes. There was one man that was knocked to the ground, and they threatened to kick him in the groin if he didn't shut his mouth.
About what?
About the travesties that are going on and the BLM takeovers, those types of things. The BLM, if you look on Dun and Bradstreet, everybody that's got a computer can go and look at Dun
yes.
and Bradstreet.
Yes.
And you find out that the BLM is a private corporation.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the truth, you find this out too. All government agencies are private corporations, IRS, all the rest of them. But nonetheless, are you seeing people coming in to help the Bundys? What do you think will happen when people do come in? Tell me what you see on that.
Well, there's more of a military presence here. It appears that they're gearing up for a big battle.
Has the National Guard been called out or anything?
I haven't seen. I had heard that they had, but I can't speak to that because I have not seen it.
But you're seeing a lot more feds, a lot more state. Are they bringing in other law enforcement, like local deputies from other counties in also?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. State policemen, there were multiple sheriff deputies from other counties.
What do you think would happen if a bunch of guys got together, went up there and said, we're going to stop this?
Well, it depends on how big the bunch was.
Well, I don't know how many would show up, but let's say a few, couple 300 show up, what would happen?
Oh, they would probably be, gosh, you know, I don't know. I would hate to think. I would think that a large enough presence would make people use their brains instead of their testosterone and turn and walk away and let this situation die down and get to the bottom of what's going on. We still have two people incarcerated in federal prison that do not belong there.
I agree.
unjustly, unconstitutionally.
Immorally. That's just immoral. Let's just get the Constitution. It was immoral. It was wrong. Period.
Exactly. It's either right or wrong. And I don't care what religion you are. I don't care where you were raised. I think that every person has inside them what they know is either right or wrong.
Yes.
And if wrong, you should not be doing it. And if it's right, you should stand up for it.
Well, I don't know what to say. The answer is, I know a lot of people just like pack them and go to Oregon, and I'm not against that, but why? What are you going to do when you get there? That's my question is, what would you do when you got there? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, what are you going to do when you get there? You tell everybody that it's a militarized camp now, and if you go up there armed to the teeth and cross into the county, they're going to consider you an invading army, so to speak. What are you going to do when you get there? You going to try to talk to the sheriff? No, it won't work. How about the judge? Won't work. How about the state police? Won't work. How about the... No, won't work. They're all on the other side now. So what are you going to do? That's a question folks got to ask yourself. We can't just go off half-cocked and charge off and do something. It could lead to a lot worse than what it is right now. Go ahead, Chris.
They're all hiding. I mean, the sheriff hasn't been out in public for quite some time. I've known him for a long time, and I can't even go and talk to him. Normally, on search and rescue and stuff, I've been allowed to just walk into the sheriff's office at any time. I'm not allowed to speak to him.
Now you're on the other side, so to speak. They've marked you as a hostile individual now, I suppose. And it's divided the community, and it's caused you to lose people that you thought you could trust. But I would also like to think it would cause you to have to bond closer to those who are still standing for the right, too.
And you're 100% correct. You know, when I was a fire chief for all those years and ran the ambulance, I got to know a lot of people. I've had a lot of support from people in this county for a long, long time. And people that have always been nice to me, always said, "Hi, Chris, how you doing?" You know, it has driven a spike in this community.
Yes, right through the heart of it. Hang on through the break. One more segment, Chris. Folks, if we've got any calls in line that haven't called for a couple weeks, we're going to try to squeeze you in right at the break, okay? 855-242-8824. Folks, the last couple of weeks, we've had some very powerful broadcasts in here. You know that. Very powerful guest. Tonight's probably been one of the best we've had in a long time. A common man, as you can tell by the way he talks. A down-to-earth man with a good heart and integrity, which is so rare today. It's just so rare to find it. And we were talking during the break, but I'm asking this question, and I'm going to ask you all this question also. I am angry over this. I'm angry over the fact that we let them murder 60 million children in the womb. That we let five men on the Supreme Court, five so-called justices, try to legalize perverted marriage. In 1973, we let five of them decide to murder children. We didn't do anything then. Why were we not angry back then? Good question, isn't it? Kind of hurts, doesn't it? But nonetheless, I'm angry about this, Chris. And I just asked him during the break there, we come up to Oregon. Let's say 100 of us, 200, 1,000 of us come to Oregon. We got there in Oregon. We come to Burns. What could we do? What would be the answer? I mean, I know you don't know any answer either, but what, you know, I'm just to make a point here, what would we do? We just walk into town and say we're here? What would that accomplish?
Well, right now it would probably just make people more afraid because they've been demonized by the FBI. Anybody that shows up to help, they find something wrong with them, and they spread all these lies about these people. That's just like I said before, the 3%ers, the oath keepers, they are all fine and stellar people. They're self-regulated. They are here to help. We had a really bad snowstorm. You know what those horrible militia people were out doing? Shoveling out fire hydrants during the snow.
They had weapons in their hand called shovels, right?
Yeah. So if you whack somebody with a shovel, it makes a big noise. But they were cleaning fire hydrants. They were helping with public safety. They were doing things to help. That's all they have done. They haven't caused any problems.
Four people left that you know of on a refuge. Where did the rest of them go?
They all went home. Ammon issued a stand-down order.
Yes, he did.
He said that we would fight this in court.
Inside information about what's going on with them, and are there any chance what's going to happen? I know they've been denied bail. So what do you see happening with that? Have you heard anything from law enforcement that you know there?
Nothing from the law enforcement people. There are people working towards their release. There are a lot of people that are doing a bunch of research on this Lavoie Finicum, the murder of him. There are people that really want to get to the bottom of it. It appears as though the FBI wants to hide this thing and sweep it under the cover somewhere. But wow. Shauna Cox is out there. The other little 18-year-old Victoria that was out, she's out there. Their statements have been recorded. They are protected. And the truth will come out. Just don't know how long it's going to take.
Yes, I agree. I know this is something that people don't know about, but the governor of Utah, I think his name is Herbert, Governor Herbert, is telling the feds that the state's going to take back the land that the feds have claimed. And the governor's telling that. We're taking back the lands. So, folks, this can be changed. I believe it can be changed because if enough people speak up and not in a way go out there and just say, I'm here. It doesn't work that way. It's starting to turn around, perhaps. And, Chris, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Certainly. I would tell everyone to study their Constitution.
Thank you, Chris. I'll talk to you soon again right after the air. Folks, we love you by the grace of God. We'll see you tomorrow night. Wow, what a broadcast. Good night. We love you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of